Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic cook blogger, and with us this week we have Marge Hunlin. She's a Catholic wife, mother, award-winning author and journalist, blogger, and speaker. She's been awarded the 2015 Egan Journalism Fellowship, which recognizes exceptional journalists who have demonstrated excellence in their reporting for Catholic media in the United States. She's written for a variety of Catholic media, including National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, CatholicMom.com, and Catholic Digest. She's a weekly contributor to Relevant Radio's Morning Air Show and is a popular guest on other Catholic radio and television shows. Her book, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, received a 2016 Association of Catholic Publishers Awards for Excellence in Publishing. And today, she's here to talk about her latest book, Forgiving Mother, A Marian Novena of Healing and Peace. Welcome to the show, Marge.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, Pete.
You're quite welcome. So, a very good book, very interesting book. I think it's going to have a lot of, it's going to be a good tool and a lot of help to many readers. But before we get into that and the details of the book, I think people need a brief overview of what inspired your writing of Forgiving Mother.
Yeah, my three siblings. quite frankly, for years and years and years, they had been encouraging me to write my story. My story includes having lived and grown up under a mom who is deeply troubled. And thanks be to God, and by the grace of an intercession and intervention of our Blessed Mother, I was able to heal. And here I am standing today to tell you, you know, to be able to tell and share about what Mary did for me. But basically, you know, they kept saying, you got to write your story, and it wasn't the right time. It didn't feel right. I talked to my spiritual director. He said, yes, I think you should, but what you'll know when the time is right. Mm. When the time was right was after my mom passed away and had, you got to read the book, but had died a very peaceful, beautiful death. And I knew in my heart, now's the time. Now's the time. And I need to share this, not because I'm anything special, because I'm definitely not, but because the Blessed Mother is so special and what she can do for folks who are suffering or have suffered similar situations to my own, where they need healing from what I call the mother wound.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's a myriad of prayers people can say, saints they can turn to. Why did you turn to the Blessed Mother?
Well, she grabbed me first, quite frankly. But in terms of, I understand where you're going with this, for the sake of the listeners, why? Because here's the thing. If we are lacking a mother experience, and this is actually true of fatherhood, but that's a whole other interview for another day. If we're lacking a genuine mothering experience as children, to become whole, we need to replace that. And that can be done a number of ways, either by, you know, attaching yourselves to other mother figures, which I certainly did throughout my life, good mother figures. But ultimately, the mother figure, the one and only, is our Blessed Mother. And that's why I clung to her and begged for her help, because she was mother. She is mother. She always will be mother.
Mm-hmm. Now, essentially, this book, as I kind of see it from reading it, it's a primer on forgiveness. I don't know any other way to say that. And we know we should be forgiving, but boy, it can be tough, isn't it?
Oh, it's very tough. And it's a process. And I have heard people talk about forgiveness as a decision. And I do agree with that. But I think there needs to be a clause with that, in that we agree to the process. Because I don't believe my experience wasn't just all of a sudden in one instant, boom, I forgive. Mm. No, rather the decision is, okay, I need to forgive. That's a whole different, for me, that was a whole different ballgame. That was very, very different. Because needing to forgive means, okay, we start the process. And for me, it was a long process.
Mm-hmm. And what was the catalyst that brought you to that point of saying, okay, it's time to move on?
That's interesting. What a great question, because I think it was I think it was a little gremlin, so to speak, in the back of my brain with all of my wonderful Catholic education going, you know, you're supposed to forgive. You know what you you know you're supposed to forgive. And finally I got to a point where it's like, okay, I can't really forgive until I let go. And that's when I decided I need to take this very seriously and really work on this and look at this. And, you know, I did have help. I did not do this alone. Obviously, mm-hmm. yes, the Blessed Father was overseeing everything. But I did seek professional counseling because there were things that were coming up that I didn't really know what to do with. And I knew a professional would be able to help me look at that in a little bit more analytical way. Oh, okay, this is what this is, and this is, you know, here are some ideas for how you can deal with this. And obviously, well, maybe not so obviously, but definitely spiritual direction has been a part of my life all along. Very, very much. I couldn't have done it without that help as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, spiritual direction comes up a number of times with authors while I'm speaking with them about their books. So I like to ask them. I myself have a spiritual director, and it is an important thing to keep you grounded and on a path. So how did you come to the decision to seek out spiritual direction? And can you explain to listeners what exactly we get when we have spiritual direction?
Okay. Well, for me, the realization that I needed some, not only spiritual direction, but you know, I was receiving spiritual direction way back when I was just 15, because my dad had died when I was just 15 years old. So I didn't have a dad anymore. Hmm. And sensed that I needed a father figure. I needed fatherly guidance. And so I was very blessed to have been very involved. All of my life I've been involved in the Shame Step movement, a Marian movement of the Catholic Church. They have an order of Shame Step Fathers, and they were very dear to me for many different reasons, but one in particular stood out. Father Carlos, he came really a papa for me and gave me a lot of guidance. So I had already begun that route of seeking spiritual direction. But there came a moment for me when I realized I had to, figuratively speaking, turn and face these demons when I had children by that time already. I was married. I had children. And there was just one day, and I don't remember exactly where we were going, but I remember loading the kids in the car, and they were just being kids, just normal kids, you know, squabbling, and, mm-hmm. and no, I want to sit in the front, and, you know, and I just broke down. I lost it, and I just sobbed hysterically. I didn't even know why. And then I, you know, it's like, okay, kids, mommy's just a little bit sad today, but I'll be all right. You know, don't worry, kids. But I realized, uh-oh. Something triggered, because I had been warned by Father Carlos way, way back when I was in my teens. When you get married, when you have kids, by this time he knew that I was intending to be married to my husband, my current husband. He said, don't be surprised if somehow they trigger things in you from your childhood. And that is exactly what happened. I realized, oh, this is exactly what he was talking about, and I really need to attack this now with more vigor and more effort.
Mm-hmm. Going to go off the rails here just a little bit, because you mentioned something that's new to me, and I think listeners might be interested in knowing about. What is the Shane Stapp movement that you mentioned in that reply?
Well, we just turned 100 years old in 2014. It is a lay ecclesial movement that began in Germany, and the name comes from the place it was founded, Chainstock, okay. Germany, and begun by Father Joseph Kantinick, who is now a servant of God. His process for beatification is ongoing in Rome as we speak. The idea is to form yourself very specifically within a covenant of love with the Blessed Mother. It's similar to the Louis de Montfort dedication, consecration, very similar. It's a very interactive, I give you everything, Mother, and I ask you, please give me everything. And it's a partnership just doesn't say it enough. It's a covenant of love. And that's the crux of of the whole movement. So, and where does Mary lead us? She always is going to lead us to her son. So it's also a very Christocentric movement. There are branches for just about every walk of life and many levels of dedication and participation in the movement. But it's worldwide now at this point.
Interesting. All right. We'll have to check that out. Now, back to the book. It's divided into two parts, kind of almost like a part one's a why and part two's a how. Part one is where you spend time talking about the different things that we discussed here a little bit that influenced your writing of the book. And part two is the novena. And I'd like to take listeners through that novena in the next three segments we have here today. But before we get into that next segment, can you explain to those of us that aren't familiar with it, what is a novena?
A novena is 9 days of prayer. Usually, well, I think it's safe to say always it's dedicated to or directed to a particular saint, or could be to the Trinity, could be to the Sacred Heart. In this case, it's directed to our Blessed Mother in the case of my book. 9 days consecutively for a particular intention, or it could be more than one intention. This comes from, it's a Catholic tradition dates all the way back to the apostles. This is what happened when they were in the upper room. They were there for 9 days awaiting the Holy Spirit. This is where we get, that was the world's very first novena. So this is where we get that custom in imitation of those who were in the upper room to pray for these intentions for the 9 days. Often there's an element of sacrifice or some kind of an extra effort during those 9 days.
All right. When we come back, we're going to dig into these 9 days and learn a little bit more about this novena for your book, Forgiving Mother. We're here with Marge Fenelon. You're listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back. Let bad coffee leave you bitter. Experience the pure taste of artisan small batch coffee with Grim Bean Coffee Company. Grim Bean's whole bean and ground coffee is sourced from 90 farms across the coffee belt from organic, fair trade, and direct trade farmers. With over 20 coffee selections, Grim Bean is sure to match your taste. Single purchase and subscription services delivered to you ensure that you will never be without your favorite coffee again. Visit GrimBeanCoffee.com today for 10% off your order with the code BREADBOX at checkout. Experience the best with Grim Bean Coffee Company. Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. We are here today with Marge Fenelon. We're talking about her latest book, Forgiving Mother, a Marian Novena of Healing and Peace. And Marge, I got us off the rails a little bit last segment and didn't give you a chance to explain to us what spiritual direction is.
Oh, spiritual direction. It's everything and nothing. And what I mean by that is that you really, I feel I'm nothing without it. So spiritual direction is receiving advice. You know, direction is can be kind of a harsh word. Advice, overseeing, accompaniment. I like that word particularly well. In your spiritual journey, by a person who you trust and who is also spiritually mature and educated enough to guide you. So in many cases, it's a priest. It could be a religious. It could be someone, you know, who's just, you just trust very well. You know, it could be a lay person who is just very apt at helping guide others spiritually. So in seeking spiritual direction, normally you set appointments at a, you know, given time. For me, it's been usually once a month, and sometimes you need it more frequently. But basically, you sit down and you talk about how are you doing on your spiritual journey. Normally, there's going to be a question that just kind of surfaces in you. That's the beauty of spiritual direction. At least my experience has been that I go and I think, oh, yeah, this is my appointment. But once I'm in there, I realize, oh, okay, this is what I got to talk about today. And sometimes you know ahead of time. But the idea is it shouldn't be intimidating. It should be, you know, you go to a friend, you say, can I have your opinion on such and such? I'm just wondering what you're thinking. It's very similar to that. It's like visiting a friend and saying, you know, I can't figure this out. Can you help me? And you have a conversation. And then, you know, when you've gotten to the point where it's, you know, either you have enough in your brain to digest for a while, and that's enough said for that day, or you make arrangements to continue another time. But it's an accompaniment in your path.
Right. Okay. Pop question. What's the most unique place you've had spiritual direction at? I'll tell you where mine is once you tell me yours.
Oh, man. I guess I'm not very original.
Panera Bread.
Well, I have done a lot over the phone. And at one time needed to call my spiritual director, and he was actually sitting in a parking lot he was a campus minister waiting for, I forget, it was an activity to get done. Right. And I'm hearing this like noise in the background. I'm thinking, Father, what is going on? Yeah. It's like, well, I'm in a parking lot in my car waiting for, like, okay, well, we can do that. That's all right.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is it doesn't have to be a stuffy, rigid experience. It's
absolutely.
Once you've been with the spiritual director for so long, it becomes more of a friendship of sorts, where it's easier the longer you do it. I found it.
Oh, yes. You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's been walks on, you know, at retreat centers and things like that, or just bumping into my spiritual director at an event. And sure, you're right. And it often is like that, very natural. Mm-hmm. And once you develop that trust in the beginning, the first couple of times, yeah, it can be a little bit structured, or maybe feel tiny bit awkward, but that melts away very quickly, especially once the Holy Spirit takes over.
Right, right. So moving on to the 9-day novena that you've made. Now, you actually wrote this novena, am I correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So I like to break it down day by day and give people a little insight of what it is and how it ties back to the first part of the book where you talk about different things. So the first day of the novena, you call it, Lord, give me the grace to want to heal. I think that's a rather interesting, perfect way to start this novena off, where you're talking about forgiveness and healing, because part of the problem we have in our human nature is sometimes wanting to admit that we have a need for healing. Am I correct?
Oh, exactly. I find that there's, and I've gone through both of these phases. We don't see the need. I'm fine. I'm sure we all know people who've gone through really tough stuff. Oh, I'm fine. It's kind of a denial, is what it is. I don't need to heal. I'm all right. The other thing that I see, and that I did experience myself, is really we cannot want to heal because we don't want to go through the work to heal. We don't want to face what we need to heal from, and it means going back, and it means becoming very vulnerable all over again. And so we'd rather just stay wounded and stay the way we are, because we don't have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. And actually, it's kind of a two-edged sword, so to speak, admitting that we need healing and not being afraid to ask for it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a whole other part of the being vulnerable, because then you have to admit that you're wounded, and that's really tough. And then you have to admit why you're wounded. And we can, I think we can just, at least I had myself in that kind of a bag, so to speak, you know, a paper bag where it's like, nope, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm just going to keep going the way I am because I don't want to ask and I'm afraid to ask and I don't know how to ask and I don't want to, I just don't want to dig into that. I don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just so listeners understand, the each day of the Novena you have set up in somewhat of a structure where you start the day out with a reading that you've written, and then it moves into a meditation. Then you follow that with reflection, some questions to help with that reflection, and a prayer to close that day out, right?
Right, right. Because I think there's so many... I used scripture examples of when our Lord had performed healings, because I think that in all of those different, or at least many of those different scenes, we can find a bit of ourselves. Maybe we don't have a withered hand per se, like the man with the withered hand. Maybe we're not physically blind, but we can be blinded by our woundedness. We can be withered by our woundedness. And so I used those examples as quite kind of a framework for the days. And then we have to ask ourselves serious questions. If we really want to progress on this path, we have to look starkly at ourselves and ask ourselves very tough questions. And no better place to do that than in the context of prayer and in this process. It seemed to me to be very conducive to a novena, because little by little, day by day, moving forward.
Definitely. Now, day two, that one's titled Mary, Let Me Grow Closer to You. We kind of touched upon this a little bit in our first segment together, but I'd like to kind of reinforce what we said. Why is it so important to have that close relationship with Mary?
Well, it can be very difficult. If we've had a negative mothering experience, we may just be all done with mothers, period. And I know people like that. We may be fearful, and I know a lot of people like that, to approach Mary. We might not know who she is. We might not even care who she is, because we are suffering. We have been wounded by someone who bore the title, or maybe still bears the title, mother. So to go to the mother of Christ, that can be really tough. And so I have that as day two, because we have to, if we really want to heal, and if we really want our Blessed Mother to help us heal that mother wound, we need to be able to open our hearts to her. That isn't very easy. And so it starts with a way, 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 you know, I call it baby step, way, you know, way, way, way back in the process, and say, okay, if you can't directly talk to her, then ask for the grace to want to trust her, to want to talk to her, to want to grow closer to her. That's what day two is all about.
And let's move on to day three. So I have some time here. Mary, help me look back. And again, that kind of ties in some sense to day one. And it's that whole thing of, you know, having the bravery to acknowledge the issues in the past that have brought us to needing to pray this novena to begin with, right?
Exactly. I personally don't think that only looking forward is going to work. It didn't work for me, and I, you know, reading other books on, you know, psychology and other, you know, therapy books and things like that, because I did do some research for this book, you need to look back at some point, because you can't fully look forward until you've been brave enough to look back and say, okay, yep, that and that happened, and or I didn't like it, or this is what happened, you know, this is how I responded, this is the effect it had on me. But you need to be able to look back and realize that's then and this is now. That's very, very important in this process of healing.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue through this novena with picking up on day 4. I'm listening to Off the Shelter on Breadbox Media. I'm Pete Sox, the Catholic footballer, and we'll be right back. About her latest book, Forgiving Mother, a Marian Novena of Healing and Peace. We've gone through the first 3 days of that novena in the book, and now we're moving on to day 4. And Marge, that is, Mary, let me see myself as a child of God. And sometimes that can be difficult, acknowledging that we are children of God. I think sometimes we spend so much time looking at our shortcomings and our sins that it's hard for us to imagine in our brokenness that we really are children of God.
Absolutely. And that's compounded if you lack mothering on a, you know, that maternal love on a natural level. It can be very, very hard and sometimes even nearly impossible to see your own worth, because in many cases, especially if it's in cases of abusiveness or neglect, you have been raised to believe that you are really nothing, that you may perhaps unwanted, perhaps in any number of ways unworthy. And so to see your own worth can be very, very difficult. I know for myself, that was a biggie. That was very, very difficult to really, in spite of having all of the wonderful people who were surrounding me, you know, outside of my mom, it was still hard for me, took a long time for me to really see myself as a child of God who is cherished and loved. And that's work. That's hard work. That's why we need to pray about that.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of segues right into the next day, which is day 5, which you call Mary, Let Me See My Mother as a Child of God. And I'd like to, you know, we've been talking about how your approach to this whole forgiveness is and your own story with your relationship with your mother, but that can be, this book, I want to let everybody know, if even if you don't have what you call in the segment one, the mother wound, you may have a father wound, you may have a grandfather wound, all this book can apply to anybody. Just take the word mother out and replace it with whatever relationship that is. The basics of the book are that good and far-reaching that I think can apply to anyone. So it not necessarily has to be, let me see my mother as a child of God. It could be, let me see my father as a child of God. But, you know, that whole, this day right here, day 5, is tough because to do that, you have to practice that forgiveness we keep talking about.
Exactly. And, you know, regardless of who it is who has either wounded, offended, harmed us in any way, the farthest from our minds usually is to even want to see that person as a child of God. You know, I think what often we tend to do is say, why did you make that person, you know, in asking God, what on earth, what purpose could that person possibly have? They only make me miserable. Well, that's maybe not for us to know. Regardless of who the person is or how this person has affected us, God made that person, and God does not do anything by accident. Now, that person has free will, whether that person chose to follow God's will for him or her or behave in a godly way, that's another question. But God did intentionally create that person, and surprise, surprise, God actually loves that person very, very much. That's hard to chew and swallow. That was, at times in my life, that was really hard for me to digest about my mom. Wow, how can he possibly love her? But he does. He does, because he is love. And that's you know, maybe there has to be many day fives in a row, so to speak, kind of violates the 9 days. But I do suggest that this novena could be prayed many times over, because especially day five, I think that can be very, very hard for folks. But that person is a child of God.
Get off the off track here just a little bit, but just because it's a 9-day novena, I want people to understand, listening, that it doesn't have to stop at 9 days. Recently, I had Greg Willits on. We were talking about his book, Tied in Knots, and he was talking about novenas and pointing out that, you know, he gets done with the 9-day novena, he starts it back up again until that change comes that you're hoping for. And it may come in a way that you don't expect it to either.
Exactly. And yes, and I definitely say that in the book. You may need to do this over and over and over again. And each time each time you pray these 9 days, each time you pray this novena, you're going to be a little bit farther along. You're going to be a little bit closer to that complete healing and peace.
Right. And the interesting thing about this whole process, not only just in this novena that you've written, is that sometimes we go into it wanting something to change, but what really changes in the end is us.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And that's day six.
Yeah. And we're getting there. but while we're still on day five, I want to backtrack into part one, where you have another chapter of the same name, She is a Child of God. And you talk about, within your story, opening the Bible, it fell to Psalm 52. And, you know, I read that it's a powerful psalm. And actually, that's one of the things I've started doing, was going through the book of Psalms. Just, they're awesome. Can you tell us the impact that particular psalm had on you and in your story?
Psalm 52, if you read it, and I agree with you, the psalms can be so instrumental in working through the stuff that's in the book. Psalm 52 basically talks about somebody, the psalmist is writing about somebody who just strikes me as having been, you know, a lot like my mom, very troubled. And in this scenario, you know, it actually, the psalmist says, you love evil more than good. I mean, this is someone that is deeply troubling. And what ends up happening, to make kind of a long, it's not, actually not that long of a psalm, but make a long story short for the radio show, is the person realizes, you know what, regardless of what you did or didn't do or who you are, God is going to take care of you. I don't need to. And that was the way that psalm spoke to me. It brings me great peace. I go back to it all the time. If there's anybody who has irked me for the slightest thing, it's like, oh, nope, I dare not wish anything upon this person. This is not my job. This is God's job. God will take care of this person, and probably in ways that I would never even dream.
No doubt. So day six. Let me be transformed in the spirit. We touched upon it a bit. And again, you know, the point of the novena may not necessarily be changing the person that you think or scenario you think needs to be changed, but it really changes us ultimately, does it not?
Exactly. And that's what we really have to pray for, because whatever the situation is, it don't mean to sound like a naysayer, but it could go on for a good long time. Mm-hmm. It could go on for decades, as in my case. What we have to work on is to allow ourselves to be transformed. Because if we are truly transformed in the spirit, nothing that happens can really touch us. And that's the whole point of day six. Nothing can touch us if we are truly transformed in the spirit. If we walk in the light, then the darkness can surround us, but it will be out there, and we will be here in the light.
That's pretty powerful stuff. Day seven, as we move on, is Mary, draw me into your heart. Again, as you move in through this, it really, especially as you wind down these last couple of days of it, where you're really starting to show a heavy leaning on the Mother of God for your success in this novena, correct?
Yes, and that's exactly, it's, you know, the novena, it's not just 9 days, but it's a journey deeper and deeper into Mary's heart. So I'm very careful in the beginning not to, I was going to say push Mary too hard, and I guess that's an okay thing to say. I don't want to disrespect her. But you know, it's because I'm very sensitive to people who don't have a ready love for her. And so by day seven, hopefully, whether it's week seven, whether it's year seven, but in this course of nine, that by this time, the reader, the one who is praying this novena, can feel confident enough, strong enough, drawn enough to actually be able to turn to the Blessed Mother and say, please draw me into your heart, that you are ready at that point to accept your position as her cherished child, because indeed you are.
Indeed. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, round out the rest of this novena, and talk about a few other things. You're listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media with my guest, Marge Fenlon. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Pete Sox, the host of Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Head on over to my show page at breadboxmedia.com and support my show and our work here at Breadbox Media by becoming a premium member today. And we believe it's more about giving than receiving. When you become a premium member for just $9.99 a month, you unlock incredible discounts from our sponsors like Rugged Rosaries, Catholic Books Direct, Lifeboat Coffee, the Mass Box, and the Harrisburg Senators, just to name a few. And it's even better. Every month, Breadbox Media chooses a nonprofit organization to partner with, and 10% of every premium membership is dedicated to that nonprofit. Join the revolution in Catholic media. Become a premium member by visiting my page today. Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. We've been spending the day with Marge Fenlon, author of Forgiving Mother, a Marian Novena of Healing and Peace. We've gone through the first 7 days, Marge. We're heading into the home stretch. And now we're on day eight, Mary, Let Me Grow. Again, maybe the point of every novena is that in some way we end up growing.
Exactly. And, you know, day seven, we is, you know, the petition there is let, you know, help me to draw closer to your heart. Well, now we're closer, you know, by day eight, we're closer to our heart. Now comes perhaps for some the biggest challenge of all, and that is to allow ourselves to be nurtured by the Blessed Mother. We're there in her heart. Now we need to be able to let her nurture us so that we can grow, so that we can grow into the person that God intended us to be from all eternity, so that we can grow into that being that it should be as if we were never affected by the wound, by the abusiveness or whatever it is, the harm that the person has caused us. So to grow in God's love.
Mm-hmm. And again,
there should be an amount of freedom there,
right.
I hope.
Right. And hopefully by day eight, we've gotten over that point of that little bit of pride point that opens us up, allowing that growth to occur.
Yes, and we see that's the thing is we can get we can stand there and go, okay, Blessed Mother, yep, I accept you and I love you and I know you love me, but I want to grow my way or I don't want to grow. It's just too much work. You know, we can always have that. You know, we're human, and well, so there can always be that reticence to really keep moving forward, and that's what day eight is all about, so that we keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Which moves us forward to day nine, the final day of the novena. Mary, let me be healed.
Exactly. And that's the easiest one of all the days and yet the hardest one in the sense that, by day nine, we've worked through all of these other stickly things, that want to get in our way from true healing. And day nine, that's the surrender day. That's the day where we're at the point where, okay, let's do this thing. Let's really please Blessed Mother, Mary, let me be fully healed. And fully healed means being able to forgive. It means being able to let go. It means being able to reap the benefits. And this is probably going to sound really strange to some of the people who might be in the midst of a situation like that, but to reap the benefits of our history.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is no matter what it is that we've been through, if we have taken our Blessed Mother's hand, if we have let our Lord heal us and transform in the spirit, then we will have come out stronger and we will be able to stand strong and be truly healed.
And again, I think it bears mentioning that, the novenas have historically been 9 days, but that's not because what we want happens at the end of 9 days necessarily. It can, but I think it's important, and I don't want to be a gloom and doom guy here by any means, but there are times where you're going to go back at the beginning and you're going to start over because God might say, you're not quite there yet.
I don't think that's gloom and doom at all. I think that's realistic because this kind of process, this kind of healing, this kind of forgiving takes a long time. And it could be that we feel that we're at the point of complete healing and peace, and suddenly something new will erupt. Mm. And that's not to scare people. It's to help them understand that this is normal. This is very, very normal. Something could come up. Maybe that person hurts you again somehow, or maybe you remember something that's very hurtful. Maybe someone else does something. And so we go back and we start it again. But the wonderful thing is no matter how many times we have to restart, each time we're going to be starting with God's grace,
mm-hmm.
and with our Blessed Mother's help. And so there's tremendous hope in that because it doesn't matter how many times you have to restart. It's that you're starting it all.
Right. That's a good point. Very good point. Marge, when this book was announced and first came out, and as a reviewer, I get a little advanced notice on these kind of things. I don't think chuckled is a word I want to use, but grinned when I saw what this book is about because looking back at after reading this book, it seems like a perfect dovetail to your other book, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena. What is the connection between the two, if any, or was it just one of life's sweet ironies?
a little of all of the above. It was, I didn't intend, when I wanted to do this book, I didn't intend it to be a novena at all. It's kind of funny. I just knew I wanted to help folks, by means of what I had been through myself. But as I was working through it, now Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, the idea of living novena is because I travel through the Holy Land and I take the reader with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was working on Forgiving Mother, and I kept this idea of journey kept coming up again, and we've said it many times in the interview, it's a journey, it's a path, and it gave me that feel again of Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena. It gave me that feel, but we weren't really, I wasn't really going anywhere physically, and yet I was taking myself and the reader on a journey deeper and deeper into the heart of the Blessed Mother, and on a journey of of forgiving. And so I thought, nope, you know what? This has got to be a novena too, because there's just no other way to do this. It's definitely a journey. And it's, I wanted to be able to, folks to kind of, you know, slow it down. And so you've got this 9-day, could be nine, like we talked about, nine week, could be 9 years. Process, journey, step by step. And so, yeah, it ended up being the perfect dovetail, and I didn't really intend it that way at all.
Yeah. Interesting how that works out, isn't it? So there's something else I wanted to cover with you, and that's an interesting little, I don't know what you want to call it, side gig you do. It's you're traveling the United States to different Marian shrines. It's become quite obvious in looking at your work that you have a deep devotion to our Blessed Mother. What is the synopsis or point or your mission with this traveling from shrine to shrine, and how can people follow you along with you?
All right. Well, that's easy enough. The project is called Marian Pilgrimage, Discovering Mary Across the USA. And again, you know, I kind of blame Our Lady on Doer of Knots for this because I, you know, I looked at, okay, I wanted to take people around the United States to visit all of, we have so many amazing Marian places in our country. And it's good for people to go to Fatima and Lourdes and good for people to go to the Holy Land. But, you know, we have these beautiful sites right here in our own country. So that's what kind of started this interest of going and discovering these places and encouraging people to go and find the Blessed Mother, find her beautiful sites. There's probably one right in your backyard, figuratively speaking, and to highlight them and really motivate people to connect to the places of grace where our Blessed Mother just waits for them. So that's what the project is all about, and that's where I'm going with it. It'll end up being, yes, another novena, another living novena, but I think I'm going to slowly carving a niche for myself.
Will there be a book on this journey, you think?
Yes, yes,
awesome.
Absolutely. I've already got the contract with Ave Maria Press, and once I'm done with the travels, it'll be 9 different sites that I'll go to see, and then I'll be writing it into a book so that people can relive and repray these beautiful places with me.
Awesome. Now, there is a way right now that they can follow you, right? You are posting on Facebook, I believe, as you go to different places?
Absolutely.
Right?
I'm posting on Facebook, Twitter, I'm on Google Plus. The easiest way to track where I am and what I'm doing and where I'm going next is on my website, margefenelon.com.
Okay. And since you spoke of that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell us where they can find, where listeners can find your current book, Forgiving Mother, A Marian Novena of Healing and Peace, where they can find Our Lady of Doer of Knots and anything else you have your hands in the middle of.
Same place, margefenelon.com. I've got them all in my bookstore, and I have information about them on my website and lots of other cool, inspirational things for them to delve into.
Awesome. And any closing thoughts?
I think the closing thought would be if we look back at Forgiving Mother, the book, and what I'm seeing more and more is people looking to it for healing from and forgiveness from all kinds of situations. And that I didn't really intend to begin with, but I see where people are coming from, and I'm absolutely delighted. Absolutely delighted. And all glory to our Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. And you know, in our veneration of her, she just so deserves it.
Awesome. Well, that's all we have time for today, Marge. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending time with us. And you've been listening.
You are very welcome.
Thanks. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.